हरिः ॐ सहनावमथु सहनौ भुनक्थु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधितमस्तमाविर्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, so first adhyaya, pada 3. Overview of Adikarnas. Brahman is the abode of heaven. Bhuman is Brahman. Akshara refers to Brahman. The Purusha sees in Brahmaloka, the Purusha seen in Brahmaloka is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Dahara is Brahman, because otherwise they might say is that this personality that's seen in the one might say is that the Lord that's seen there, then that is just a manifestation of the mode of goodness. That's what we have to avoid, right? We're trying to avoid anything where we're taking anything that is of value in the world and saying that it is illusion. No, it's actually the potency of the Supreme Lord. And then, when we're saying the Supreme Lord, then we have to understand it is the Supreme Lord. It's not also illusion. So we're trying to remove the concept that anything perceivable is illusion. Right? And to establish that what we're perceiving actually is the Supreme Lord. The illusion is we don't know it's the Supreme Lord. Right? So it's a step further. It's more difficult. To just say it's all illusion, that makes it very easy. Right? You know, it's the, what do you call it? Give a dog a bad name and hang him. Bro, you just take the category, categorically it's all bad, so therefore you don't have to deal with it. It's a very difficult thing. Otherwise then, having to deal with something that there's variety, that's the part they don't want to do. So they're very intelligent in able to analyze, but actually there's a great, you could say, emotional immaturity, because they're unable to deal with the variety within emotions. So just as someone overly sentimental is a problem, someone who's overly speculative is a problem. So the Vedic system is you have to balance the both. So in the other literatures, generally we see we're balancing the karma aspect very nicely and introducing the proper aspect. But in the Vedanta, then you have to balance the jnana aspect. Because generally those who are going to study Vedanta on their own willingness are going to be more inclined towards jnana. Right? It's not going to be a book you just pick up for light reading, you know, like that. Though I had no individuals who that was their light reading. So yes.
But we bring them out because they are the exception.
They are the exception. So they prove the rule.
Exactly.
Right? Okay, you understand? So that's why, otherwise we're going through, why is it that now we're on pada 3? So two padas already, it's, this is Brahman, that is Brahman, right? Because actually everything's Brahman, so we could go on unlimited chapters going through, you know, this red line on this rug here is Brahman, this other red line on this rug here is Brahman, and this one too is Brahman, and where they intersect and it's more red, that's also Brahman, you know, so we're not going to do that. We're just taking the major aspects of...
There's no Upanishadic verse about that.
Yes, there's no Upanishadic verse, so therefore we don't have to worry about it. But technically, that's what's going on. Anything that's dealing with the Supreme, all the different synonyms for Brahman, those are being dealt with in the Vedanta Sutra. So it's very... No one can wiggle out of it. Right? There's no... no loopholes. In other words, if Vyasadeva had written the tax laws, there would be no loopholes. But he didn't, so.
Here we are.
You see that in this discussion, previous discussions, a lot of the time it seems to be the ambiguity is the thing that actually catches the mouth. It seems that that's where they get caught out, is they think everything's ambiguous, so it could be this, it could be that.
Yes.
So where is that ambiguity coming from? Is it just mental speculation purely, or is it...
It's speculation, but you're dealing with something subtle. The subtle body, the metaphysical, the spiritual. So these different aspects, because they're not directly perceivable by the senses, right? You can get symptoms, but you don't directly see. You can't directly see the mind, but you can get symptoms of the mind. You can get symptoms of the consciousness. You can get these things. So that's then where it leaves it open for speculation, because you can't directly perceive it with the senses. Therefore, you could go on anybody's, you know, guesses as good as anybody else's. Does that make sense? So that's where it comes from. Now, why would someone be interested in that? Is because of the flavor or the taste one gets from that. Right? Just like, let's say, someone sits around with friends talking about what they could do to enjoy, right? You know, just like, let's say it comes up, well, you know, you could do anything, you know, what would you do for a vacation? Oh, I go here, I go there, and yeah, you do this and that, and they go like that. So it's the taste of the how you say, speculation, but on the platform of the emotions, the mind, the senses, right? And so that's a taste. So the jnanis, it's the taste on just the intellectual possibilities. So that's speculation, but it's in the realm of the intelligence. So all it is they're speculating in a different area. They think it's because we're speculating, but everybody's speculating. Like that. There's no one who's not speculating. Does that make sense? It's just that who makes money off of it. So if they went to California, they made money. But if they didn't go to California, you didn't make money, right? So, you understand? But, you know, it's bad for their knuckles. But hey, you know, there's a trade-off, right? Okay? So the whole point is that speculation is the thing. But it's saying, oh, we speculate. We're intelligent. No, it's you're speculating in the field of intelligence. That may be considered superior than speculating in the field of the mind. But because the mind is the one getting the pleasure from it, we call it mental speculation. So in that way, it's actually the same. It's just what you speculate about. You know, someone speculates about pleasant vacations. Others are speculating about some extreme sport. They're going to dive off a mountain with their skateboard or something. You know, like that. So it's still all, the mind is what stays. So technically, there's no difference. That's why you have material consciousness, then you have spiritual. So in that way, we don't have to divide, right? But it's just what you want to get from it. So someone wants to get the pleasure out of the speculation from the material world, and the other wants to get the pleasure of the speculation that I'm not within the material world. So what facilities I can gain, that speculation is their happiness, or what facilities I'm avoiding, that's their happiness. You understand? So it comes down to karma and jnana. That's all. It's that you have an identity, you endeavor in that, you get a result, that result makes you happy. Or you give up an identity, you do no activity, you get no result, and that makes you happy. So that's all you're dealing with. So it's the same thing. It's just a slightly different approach. You know, they're negative, you know, day and night. It's still all within time. You know what I'm saying? But it has a different flavor. That's all.
So basically, philosophically, no matter which angle you approach it, everything comes back down to the laser's edge.
Yes. So that's why, since the speculative process is going to be used, that's just how the mind and intelligence works. then use that to see Krishna in everything, or see everything in connection to Krishna. Right? So that speculation, then that's of value, but then it's not called speculation. Right? Because speculation generally means you don't know what you're going to get, but if you're dealing with the Lord, you do know what you're going to get. Since everything is Him, you're dealing with the Absolute, so it's not then called speculation. The mechanics are the same. Right? That's why there's one Prabhupada says that we're using mental speculation, but we're using it in connection to Krishna. You know, just like we say sense gratification, that means senses engaged without Krishna, and bhakti means senses engaged with Krishna. So you, when you say bhakti, you don't have to say, how you say, Hrishikesh or Hrishikena Sevanam Bhakti Ruche. We don't have to say that every time. One's supposed to know that. It's a fundament.
Can you say that we use mental speculation as a tool rather than a goal in itself?
It's a tool, yes. But they also use it as a tool. Mm. But the thing is coming analyzing that nicely, that's their goal. So you could say, because it itself can only be a tool. I mean, there might be someone who wishes that they could think more. You know, why does he come up with all these crazy things, you know? But the point is that, but the ability to do that, they'll take that as, they're doing that, that is the pleasure. Well, for the devotee, yes, it's just like Brahman is just a situation for devotees, while for the jnanis, it's the goal. And also for the karmis, it's the goal. That they don't know that that's the goal. They don't know what they're appreciating in the karma is Brahman. That's why then Vedanta Sutta is going through this. It clears all the doubts on karma and jnana. If it clears it in jnana, it clears it in karma. Right? You know, that's the thing. You clear the bigger doubt, the smaller doubts are already included. Right? Said yes.
If the speculation is based on the teachings of Guru Sada Shastra, do we call that philosophical speculation as opposed to mental?
Yeah, you could. But generally we would just call that contemplation or manana. That's what we're talking about. Or vichar. So then it's seen in its more positive light. Mm-hmm. You know, just like, let us say, we say karma yoga or jnana yoga. Yes. That would be positive, right? But if I say bhakti misra karma, I mean karma misra bhakti, I mean the other one really, or jnana misra bhakti, that's seen in a negative light. Or aropya bhakti, these are seen in negative light. But it's all the same thing, it's just what's the intent. When the intent is bhakti, therefore the karma and jnana that's mixed with it is not seen as a bad thing. Right? Because ultimately, when you come to pure devotional service, you're engaging the mind, the senses, the intelligence in the Lord's service. So, therefore, that's what bhakti is. Bhakti is the complete thing. When you just take one thing, then you call it by that.
Right.
Does that make sense? Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like when you say chef, what can he cook? Basically anything. But let's say that he's the guy that makes sauces. What's the name?
Huh?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's the thing. I just don't know how to say it. Yeah. That's what you have to say it like that. You know, there's the chef, the sous chef, and then there's the
associé,
like that. That's all he makes is sauces. He doesn't make anything else. And, you know, and I think the guy who does the mops the floors, the plongeur. Yeah, you know, it all sounds good. It's like that. What was it? We did that thing. You take a potato, take a sledgehammer, and smash it. You know, and then you fry that nicely in a pan and all that. And then we call it. I think in French, how would you say smashed potato?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, sounds good, doesn't it? You saw that on a menu. You might go, hey, what's this? You know, you put it on there, put some nice sauces around, you know, peas on top, you know.
The tomato residue, or fondue, ketchup.
Yes, yes. like that. You just put it in French. It sounds fabulous. You know, that's the thing. Yes. So, how did we get into that one? Yes. So, I still don't know how we got.
Damn those French. Associates, the sauce guy. He can cook everything.
Yes, so therefore bhakti is like the chef. And then the karmis, the gyanis, they're like the sauce guy. They just know one thing. That's why they're given a name. See, is bhakti includes karma and gyan. Right? And gyan. But it's just called bhakti because it's all of them together. But when you just take one of them out, then you call them a karmi, a gyani, or a yogi. Right? Because the bhakti devotee is a bhakti yogi. So we can go to, let's say, a yoga studio and do no asanas and just talk about philosophy. And they can't complain because it's yoga. Right? And it's quite respected if you do that. You know, you don't have to get down there and be able to tie yourself up in a pretzel, you know, like that. Yeah, maybe in Germany, yes, but other places, then you can just speak. Is that one? Okay. Sounds great.
In the West, they call him a sanitation engineer.
Yes, sanitation engineer. But it wouldn't be so much nicer to close here. Okay. D6. He who is measured by a thumb is Brahman, right? Because then Paramahama is referred to. He is measured by a thumb. So any definition of the supreme in any form is being then dealt with. That's what has to be established, because we're still the first adhyaya. So the first two adhyayas are sambandha, right? So they have to establish what's the relationship of everything, because we're dealing with Brahman, which is everything. So therefore, all definitions have to be there. Because some ask, why all these definitions? Why can't we just get down to bhakti? Because the point is we're trying to defeat all discrepancies against bhakti.
The fun part is that opens up the door for chala to actually misinterpret it. Comparison to, like, say, the Bhagavatam, which is more on the cultural side, it's just showing how it works.
Yeah.
So they would actually use this.
Yes, but your thing is to see is what they'll do is they'll only take certain verses. Mm, yeah. Shankara does not comment on every single verse. Yeah. The only those ones that the way it's written, he could twist it.
Open the door.
Yeah, a little bit. He could twist it. But that's also left so that can happen, because then it's like, okay, now you have a Buddhist. Now, if you want to discuss with him about Krishna consciousness, you may not get very far. But if you have a Mayavadi, because they accept the Vedic version and they accept the rules of the Vedas, you could get somewhere with them. You know, maybe not, but there's a possibility. So it's better that Buddhist is following the Vedas than that Buddhist is not following the Vedas. Right? So that's why then this left that from this you can get six different philosophies that are all on as complete philosophies, they're incomplete. Right? So in that way we'd say they're bogus. But they're all part of the full philosophy, which is Vaishnava Vedanta. Right. So all the different aspects, we use all of them to explain our philosophy, but they all have their position in part. So, yeah. Okay. 8. Shudras are not qualified for Vedic meditation. 9. The thunderbolt in the Katha Upanishad 2.3.2 is Brahman. 10. The Akasha in Chandogya Upanishad 8.14.1 is Brahman. And 11. At both the time of dreamless sleep and the time of the jiva's liberation from the material world, the jiva and the supreme Brahman are different.
Maharaj,
yes.
Is it not repeating? It's in Akash also.
No, but this is being specifically this verse. You have the generic, but then they can say, okay, that's. But what about in here? So there'll be some different angle. So, in other words, the ones that you see that are repeated more, it means it's either more important to them, that's why they use it, so you have to say it again and again, right? Or there's different angles on it that there will be different ways, okay, this way, but what about this way? You know, it's just like if you're trying to convince somebody of something, when you say, then they may accept that angle, but what about this other angle? Does that make sense? So that's what you're doing, okay? And it's not necessarily, because they're all definitions you're just going through, it's not necessarily that there's a chronology in these, is there?
They're organized according to the degree that they could be mistaken. So what that means is some words are equivalent to Brahman. Some words have a tenuous relationship. They could or they could not mean both Brahman. Oh. Like there's mundane objects, okay. And then there's Brahman. And some words refer to both of them unequivocally. Some are weighted more towards the mundane objects. You wouldn't ordinarily refer to Brahman in that context.
Okay.
And then other ones. It just gets very technical, but there's three main categories.
Three main categories. But what are you starting with?
The first ones are the easiest ones that are the easiest to refute, and then these are the more challenging ones.
Okay, so the ones that are have the more dual aspect.
Exactly.
Okay, so the ones that are more directly.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So those were dealt with in the first.
Like
the other.
You started with Ananda, for example.
Okay, yeah, because it's hard to say that drinking your soft drink is Ananda.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, you can try, but
you usually don't get
far. That's what it says on the bottle. Right? It says, yeah. Okay. Okay. The purpose of the Samanvayajaya, the first chapter of Vedanta Sutra, is to affiliate the entire body of Shastra with Brahman by analyzing the true meaning of words with the help of the Tatparyalingas. This first pada. So that means the Tatparyalingas means the different aspects of how it's brought out. These Tatparyalingas will mean how the opening and closing of something, how often it's referred to, the specialness that it is, the uniqueness that it is, all these different aspects, something that would make it stand out. So using that from the Ilasu Upanishad, which we're studying, then what they do that with. In the Upanishads, where the Tatparyalingas are applied, those are the parts that we're dealing with, because that's what anybody who analyzes things will work with. So therefore, then, that's where the focus is. Right? This third pada of the first adhyaya continues to examine those words and phrases which denote both Brahman and other things in the world. Baladeva Vidyabhushan begins the pada with the following prayer. May Govinda, who is full of the highest bliss, who is the ruler of the devatas, and who maintains the destitute world by his mercy, bestow prema to me. So we can see is that when the acharyas study technical points like this, analytical points, they don't lose their position, you know, as devotees. You know, they don't get off into that so much you forget. It doesn't take on that it doesn't disappear from that. So, because otherwise you might think he would say something else. No, this is what it is. So there's still a little bit of light here, right? Before we enter into the dryness. Adhikarna 1, abode of heaven and earth. Dyu bhuvad yadikaranam. Sutra reference 1, 3, 1 through 7, Adhikarna Prakasha. Adhikarna 1 of the third pada proves that the being within whom heaven and earth are woven, mentioned in Mundaka Upanishad 2.2.5, is Brahman. On account of the term Atman being used of it, and on account of its being the destination of liberated souls, it cannot be Pradhan, nor the individual soul, owing to the declaration of difference. Because right? Otherwise, then, you're going to bring everything back to Brahman, so there's nothing, but even if you bring it to Brahman, there's still going to be the Lord, there's still going to be the Jiva. Right? Like that. So, the point is you're always going to have Jiva, always going to have Pradhan, always going to have the Supreme. Mm-hmm. There's never going to be, how you say, never the twain shall meet. Right? That they just will always be separate. Yes.
And that's not claim that it's Pradhan. They just don't take it further enough. That's their problem?
That's all the, because that's all the farther they want to get. Right? Because by taking it back to Brahman means the interactions of the material nature as Mahat are no longer happening. Because then there may be, even in Avyaya, which is one means unmanifest. Avyakta. So Avyakta, it's still separated, so then it's still, you know, but Pradhan, nice and homogenous, nothing's going to happen, like that. So you see, as all the six systems basically get you back to there. Only Vedanta will take it then back to Brahman. But they're not making a distinction. So you're trying to get to the point where there is no interaction with the modes of nature. Because Avyakta. In Avyakta, still the modes are there. They're not acting. Because they can't go together. That's the whole point. What's the difference between Avyakta and Mahatattva? Is Avyakta, the 24 elements are separated, but they can't, there's no attraction to each other. You can't put them together into anything. Because only if you make something, then it can interact. So Mahat then means that's where the Lord has entered the Avyakta. And so by entering that, then the attraction can be there. Right? You're just having a thing, I think it's the quantumists, then they're thinking that they're going to find the graviton, that's what holds everything together. What they don't understand is, no, that's the Lord. Brahman is holding everything together. Right? So he's the one holding together, then you can get all the primary creation. Then you have everything there, all that, that's Mahat. Right? Then when Brahma manifests it externally, then the living entities enter that, and then karma and everything starts. Otherwise, before that, everything's on the Vasudeva set, the platform. They are on the transcendental platform in the way of situation. But in the way of consciousness, then they're not. They're all mundane. Everybody within the Mahatattva, except for the realized souls, but all the conditioned souls, they are all, have polluted consciousness, even if they're liberated. That's why they come back. That's the difference. So when we say Vasudeva Sattva, we mean pure consciousness. But these impersonalists, they get to Vasudeva Sattva, but it's impure consciousness. So they're actually still part of Mahat. That's why they're not in the Brahman outside. But just in case they do get outside, then there are tridents around Goloka to catch that. Like that, so yeah. Can you imagine that? That means Goloka. It's 51% of the three quarters of unlimited. So you can imagine how big are the tridents, and then you have 1/10,000th the tip of the hair trying to get in.
They can miss.
Huh? I think they're quite. It's quite sharp. The tip is probably quite perfectly pointed.
In Pradhan, then the modes of nature are still there, but they're not active at all.
In Pradhan, everything's just homogeneous. Okay. So it's all mixed up to the point where you can't distinguish between any of them.
And what's pervading in Pradhan?
Pervading?
We can say
Brahman.
So it's pure goodness.
Yeah, it's that Vasudeva Sattva. Yes, that's there. But that means that's just back in Pradhan. So when we say unmanifest, it can mean Pradhan, but it also can mean Avyakta. So that's what we're talking about. These terms that they have dual meanings. So generally, when we just think Pradhan and Mahatattva, because that's the main thing, because it's only brought out that unless the Lord enters it specifically, it can't work together. But that's the Avyakta. But you'll see, as if they're being very technical, they'll say you're putting the five elements back into the mind, man into the intelligence, that into the ego, that back into the Mahatattva, that into the Avyakta, and that goes back into Pradhan. Yes.
Yeah, another point about all these terms is that there's always the mukhya vritti and the lakshana vritti, so the primary meaning and then the secondary meaning.
Yes.
So generally the conventional meaning of a word like ether, we associate it with the material element.
Yes.
But the main point here is to connect everything janmadhyasiyatap, that the ultimate origin of everything is Brahman. So therefore the actual primary meaning, mukhya vritti, is always connected to Brahman ultimately.
Yes.
So that's actually the real meaning.
Real meaning.
Our, what we consider to be the conventional meaning is actually a misunderstanding of that second sutra.
Yes.
So this entire passage is a means of proving that central thesis, janmadhyasiyatap, that everything including Brahman, Pradhan and Jiva ultimately has its origin
in Brahman. Because otherwise, then what's the value?
Yeah.
It means why would it means in the conventional, the only reason that you would focus on it is because you value it. But what you're valuing is not the thing itself. It's the potency of the Lord. So it is Brahman that you're valuing. So like you're saying, in that way, then that's meaning everything has to be seen that way. Because the point is, Vedanta Sutra is how to get out of the material world. So you'll only get out when you see everything is transcendental. We stay here because we think this thing is a value, I can gain something from it. What we understand is this thing is a value because of its connection to the Lord, so therefore the Lord is what's of value, therefore I connect to the Lord, that means you're transcendental. So that means you can deal with what's here. That's why you see example in the like fifth and sixth cantos of these great personalities who are on the transcendental platform and engaged as great emperors doing all the things that they do. You know, the different manus and big emperors and everything like that. So they're able to see everything as Brahman. But the point is they're also able to function with it in the conventional state where others can relate. But they're ultimately seeing it actually just as Krishna. So Krishna's come in this form, so how to deal with Krishna in this form? Right? Krishna is the kingdom, so how do you manage a kingdom that is favorable to Krishna? Krishna is the citizen, so how do you deal with the citizens that they're satisfied? Like this. So that's the aspect. So unless one sees like that, one doesn't actually get anywhere. And you see in basically all the prayers that are there in Bhagavatam, most of them refer to this point at some place in their prayers. They all will start, he's everything, you're there, you're all this, you're beyond. And then he's everything, then they'll always mention he's beyond. So that's the whole point, is that he's there, this is the mechanical how you deal with Brahman, this is the laws dealing with Brahman, and then this is how you deal personally with Brahman. Right? So they're trying to get you to go through those three stages, but at least being able to see everything as Brahman on that basic platform, because if you can catch that in reality, then you can go. While the Maya bodies, we can say, well, what about them? But that's why they're called Maya bodies, because everything's Maya. So technically they're not transcendental. We categorize them as transcendentalists because they work with transcendence. But they themselves aren't technically transcendental, because they think everything's illusion. So they're not actually seeing Brahman. Only when you see Brahman are you transcendental. So they see illusion, so they're not transcendental. Is that it? Yeah. Okay. Adi Karna Prakash. We just did that. Being. We finished that?
Summary of.
Okay, yes. Summary of Adi Karna 1. Vishaya. In the Mundaka Upanishad, it is said, know that he in whom heaven, earth, sky, mind, breath, and everything else are woven is the Atman. Give up talking of anything else. He is the shore of the eternal. Samshaya. Is the abode of heaven described here the Pradhan, Jiva, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Purvapaksha. The abode of heaven here is the Pradhan, because Pradhan is the cause of all material transformations, and also because the words Amrita Setu, the shore of the eternal, appropriately describe Pradhan, which leads the living entities to liberation, just as milk brings nourishment to a calf. The word Atma in this passage may refer to Pradhan either because Pradhan brings happiness to the living entities or because it is all-pervading. Then again, the words in this passage may refer to the jiva, because the jiva is the enjoyer of the things in this world, and because the jiva possesses the mind and the breath mentioned in this passage. Siddhanta. Right, so here we also see heaven means that place where you'll go. We're taking heaven means where you'll go and be happy. Right? That place of... So whenever it's mentioned, then you see that the context is slightly different. Same wordings will be used. Like in Manu, it will mention about going to that supreme abode. But the context of what it's in, the karmis will take that's swarga. The jnanis will take that's Brahman. And the devotees then will understand that's Vaikuntha. So because this is a jnana shastra, then here heaven means Brahman. Right, or coming to that transcendental platform. Does that make sense?
Mm.
So they're not talking about swarga loka here. Not in this point. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
4. Siddhanta. Now he speaks the conclusion. Dyu bhuv ad yatanam swa shabdata. The description. The abode of heaven, earth, and other things refers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because the words in this passage specifically describes him. Because these descriptions can fit the jiva on some aspects, the pradhan on some aspects, but they fit the Supreme Lord on all aspects. Right? That's the whole point. So yes.
But technically, we can say it on everything.
But everything as the Supreme. It's because the Supreme is in something. That's why it can take on those qualities. Like if we give a quality, let's say, of happiness to swarga, you know, there's some ananda there. But that's only because that potency of ananda from the Lord is there to a greater degree than here. But it's not in as great a degree as it is in Brahman, and that doesn't compare to how it is in the spiritual world in bhakti.
So their main point is that they don't accept something higher than whatever they say?
Yes. That's the whole point, is that they're attached to the concept of just merging into something. Because, let's say, if you merge into something, you have to do something. Okay, let us say this. Okay, the guy is down at the pub, okay? And he is grumbling to his friends. Okay, what's he grumbling about?
Wife.
Okay, right. And so, then, basically, he just wants the difficulty to go away, right? So now, if there was a difficulty that now you just merged into your lager, then it's done, right? Like that, because all other things are illusion, right? But then the difficulty comes is that how much happiness can you gain there? and especially just think about how many wrinkles you'll end up with, right? You know, like that, you know, sitting in lager all day. Yeah. So now let's say there's someone there who's more wise and then explains to him how he could deal with the wife in such a way that now those problems that he's experiencing will go away. Okay? Yes. I mean, this is hypothetical, right? Because if we could, you know, in other words, if we could merge into the lager, someone could be there at the pub to explain it to us. Right, so we have to take, how you say, the intent of the example.
You're saying we should start preaching in pubs.
That's another thing. I mean, Nityananda Prabhu did it, but... yeah, so now... But now, what's the difficulty with this? No, I'm just saying, why means one is that it just all goes away because... There's nothing. You have to do something. You would have to use your intelligence, your mind, your senses to engage in a way to make it, and then the result is much greater.
But it starts with you.
But the point is you have to do something. Well, this other is you're already Brahman, so what do you have to do? You don't even have to merge. You're already, you already are. It's just, it's
all illusion.
But they are using their brains so much. I mean, up with all that stuff.
Yes, because they're materialists, so they have to speculate that they're going to do, but they don't notice that part. You know what I'm saying? So for them, fatigue comes in emotional interaction. Well, for let's say for the sentimentalist or that, then fatigue comes in the intellectual endeavor, right? But the speculation will be there. They can speculate all day. I mean, let's take gossip. It's just speculation. Oh, this is this, and now that'll happen, and that one will say this and that, and oh, this, that, and the whole world's falling apart because we heard something that someone wore. You know, didn't match the pink and the purple, right? You know, or you go shopping. You know, what's that thing? Because how much do you buy? Okay, you're buying a lot, but in comparison, how much speculation was there on what could be bought and what could be done with, in comparison to what you actually walk out with? You understand? So speculation is the main point. So we don't notice that. We just say, we're shopping or we're gossiping. But no, you're speculating. You understand? So in the same way as they're using the intellect and doing something, but they're speculating. They don't even notice they're doing it. Right? That's the whole point. And since they don't have any activity, that is all they have left. So then they might notice it this a little bit of degree, but they like it because everybody in conditioned consciousness likes speculation. So. Okay, Sutra 131. Dyu bhuvad yatanam sva shabdata. Dyu of heaven. Bhu and earth, Adi, beginning with Atanam, the abode, Swa, on, Shabdat, because of the word. The Lord is the abode of the heavens and earth because He is the bridge to immortality. Because right? They were saying Pradhan is the bridge. Right? So that's the Sutra Prakashika. The evidence to support the conclusion that this passage refers to Brahman is contained within the passage itself. That is the meaning of swashabdata, because of its own words. And the Vishayavakya for this Adhikarna, Mundaka Upanishad 225, oh, means this is the point being discussed.
Vishayavakya is the Upanishadic term that's being discussed for this Adhikarna.
Oh, okay.
It's the subject of this.
Okay. So the Vishayavakya is the being who is called the abode of the heavens and the earth is referred to as Atma.
That's what it means, Vishayavakya.
Vishayavakya means what Upanishad, yeah, say?
Huh?
What you said?
Well, this particular Vishayavakya is from the Mundaka Upanishad.
Yes, but it means just the general meaning.
Oh, well, Vishaya is the subject of this Adhikarna.
Okay.
Vakya is the speech or the actual passage.
Passage. Yes. So what word or what passage is the point of discussion?
Yes.
So here is the abode of the heavens and the earth, right? Here within the sutra, the abode of the heavens and the earth. That's the Vishayavakya, right? Because that's what's under discussion. Right, so we see up here in the Purvapakha. So up here in Samshaya is the abode of heaven described here as Pradhan, Jiva, the person Purvapaksha. The abode of heaven here is, right?
Vishayavakya is the abode of heaven.
Is the abode of heavens and earth, right? Like that. So now in here it's saying the Lord is this, and He is the bridge to immortality. So we can say, okay, He is this, but then you have to get to immortality. But He's mortality. So that means He's this side. He's the bridge, and he's that side, and he's the process of walking across the bridge. Yes, that's what's trying to be brought out, because they'll say, okay, you know, okay, he's that, but he's not this, or okay, he's that and this, but he's not the bridge, or he's the bridge, but he's not this, and, you know, like that.
Slowly.
Yeah, yeah.
And the water under the bridge.
Yeah, until you just have whatever, you know, you just have the two pieces there and the one piece in the corner. They can't
exactly
move, right, you know, yeah.
Maharaj?
Yes.
Whatever is in quotes, the abode of heavens and earth, this is the vakya or the sentence. And the vishaya of this vakya is Atma. So Atma has been discussed earlier.
Now the vishaya vakya is Mundaku Upanishad.
Yeah.
Means the Mundaku Upanishad is saying that. Yeah, so that's the
one. Shloka from the Upanishad is the vakya.
So that vakya means this particular sentence in double quotes, right?
Yeah, that's
yeah,
correct.
Yeah, yeah. So the vishaya, the subject of this is Atma, which is mentioned referred to as Atma.
No, but the vishaya vakya means what is being discussed. Now, what within that you want to bring out, that will be another thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, let's say we say the vishaya vakya is sarva dharmam paritya jamame kam sharanam braja. Mm-hmm. So now we could, that is the point. Now someone will say, see here the mum part, or someone will say the braja part, or someone will say the you understand?
Mm-hmm.
So they'll bring out, so that's what then will be covered, is all the different angles will be given with. That's why then we will take many sutras to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For example, the impersonalist claim that Tattvamasi is the Mahavakya of all the scriptures.
Yes.
You are that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. So it's always about these vakyas.
Which eye is the doubt?
No, vishaya means your point. Shamshaya is the doubt. Like you saw here, is the Vedanta Sutra, then we'll use vishaya, shamshaya, purvapaksha. So, because you're dealing with those who they are working within the realm of argument or logic, you don't have to break down all their parts. Right? In other words, here, the Shamshaya is the doubter's Vishaya. And his Purvapaksha is his reason, examples, his conclusion, and like this. And then, when we do, then we'll deal, the Siddhanta here, then will actually defeat all this, using whatever needs to be done. Does that make sense? So, but it all has all these parts within it, if you want to break it down. So in the Bhagavatam, because it's more straightforward, we're just using Gotamas in that form there. But here, because it's directly it's about arguing with these other philosophies, then this is what's the standard. It means you already know that.
The first two parts that we were dealing with were the different words, Jyoti, Akash, and other things. But now this part is referring to the phrases in the Upanishads. Right?
No, they're all referring to phrases. It's just that they will say, quote, from that verse, this phrase.
It said over here, it's referring to the phrases. Now,
the phrase, but the phrase is the verse. In other words, here, 225 is the verse. Within that verse, there's the phrase. And then there's so many angles you could take of that. Okay.
Just as an aside, the commentators say that the actual Mahavakya for Bhagavatam is Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam, that actually all the avatars and all the incarnations were coming from Krishna originally.
Oh, okay.
So every verse of Bhagavatam has to be understood in relationship to that.
That, okay. Vakya. Okay, so when you say Mahavakya, it means all other Vakyas are seen in connection with that Vakya.
Exactly.
Okay, so then for us, Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam will be
all the scriptures and all Bhagavatam.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So then we'll take that as the Mahavakya. Okay. So then for us, it's easier to understand everything as Brahman. Well, for them, it's harder to understand.
Yeah, exactly.
What is Paribhasa Sutra? We usually call that Krishna's two
Bhagavan Swayam. Yeah.
It's the same.
Paribhasa and Mahavakya are the same. So, like that. So, yeah. It's just different. So, Vakya means what's spoken, and Bhashya means what is, you know, how it's understood. Or, yeah. So, that's the thing. Sanskrit has a lot of synonyms. So that's why we're dealing from all these different angles, because there's so many synonyms.
Almost synonyms.
Hmm?
Almost synonyms.
Almost.
Context.
Yes, yes. But that's what synonym means, is that the differences in context. Because you would use one word or another depending on the context, so it basically means the same thing. You know. Yeah. You know, is it a vehicle? Is it a car? Is it my wheels? Depends upon the context.
The ride.
Yeah, like that. So that's it, depending upon the context.
How far west you are.
Yeah. Yeah. What kind of hat you're wearing. Okay. The Vishaya attributes to this Atma the word setu, which in this context means bridge to immortality. This quality is characteristic of Brahman, not Pradhan or Jiva. Because the Jiva is not the bridge to immortality, because the Jiva's existence is illusion. So how can illusion be the bridge to immortality? Otherwise, then illusion has some value in that it has substance that can get you to immortality. And the Jiva also, according to them, is illusion. So again, the same problem. And if we're taking it from the proper context, dead matter, how that will get you to transcendence, and the Jiva is the one in illusion, how the Jiva is going to get you to transcendence. Okay? So it's only in connection to the Lord. So the Lord is the bridge to immortality. So then with Him being involved, then He is the cause, He is the bridge. So those Jivas who are connected with the Lord, they therefore become an instrument, you know, in that bridgement. And the material energy of Pradhan being empowered with the chit potency also then is able, under the direction of the Jiva connected to the Lord, then able to bring you across. But the point is it's the Lord that's the common factor for all three. Right? This is important in our application of the philosophy, is that if it's connected to Krishna, it is of value. If it's not connected to Krishna, it is illusion. Because it is connected to Krishna. So we don't see it, we're an illusion. Sri Govinda Bhashya. In the third pada, some statements which seem to indicate Jiva and Prakriti are shown to refer to Brahman. Right? So this is the point, is that something that seems more direct towards Brahman, those were discussed before. Now we're dealing with things that they are used in the context about Brahman, they're used in context to Prakriti, they're used in context to Jiva. Right? Because that's Sambandha Gyan. So Apada, yes. In this Adhikarana, then the whole thing's about Sambandha, a relationship. So relationship means Chit, Achit, and Ishwara. So those words that were more generally used towards Ishwara, those were discussed before. But now we're dealing with words that can be referred to as Chit, Achit, or Ishwara. But their meaning is Ishwara, but depending on the context, then you see, like we described, the Jiva in connection with the Lord as a devotee or as the spiritual master, that person becomes, you know, an assistant in the whole bridge example. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Vishaya. In Mundaka Upanishad it is said, Yasmin Vyao Prithivi Chantariksham Otam Manas Saha Pranaischa Sarvaihi Tam Evaikam Janata Atmanam Anya Vacho Vimu Chatam Mritasyaisha Setuhu. Know that is this the 225?
Yeah, that's the Vakya.
Okay, so this is the Vakya in question. Okay. Know the one Atma within whom heaven, earth, antariksha, and mind are woven, along with all the pranas. Give up all other words. He is the bridge of immortality. Mundaka Upanishad 225. So here he says, the one, the Atma, who heaven, earth, antariksha. So what are we going to see? Heaven, earth, the jiva. These are the things we're going to see, right? So, but the point is what is woven within that is the Atma. So does that mean heaven is woven through all those? Is the Atma, is the jiva woven through all those? You understand? So it's, no, it's the Supreme. Supreme is woven amongst all those. Just like we were saying example yesterday, of the, you have fabric, so you have the vertical and the horizontal, right? Or the, what is it? Waft and waft and warp and warp and weft, something like that, whatever it is. You have the vertical and horizontal threads, but we simply see fabric. We don't see threads. You may say, oh, it's 1,200 count, but we don't actually look at threads. It's, that's a prestige thing. We probably wouldn't even know the difference that, you know, you understand? So the whole point is that the threads are the actual thing that makes it fabric. So it's the Supreme that actually makes all these things what they are. If heaven has any heavenness, that's because of Atma within it, right? Earth, the it has its nature because of Brahman within it. That's the whole point that comes out. So that's how Atman is there, but the point is there is this, this bridge to immortality. That's the real point, is who's the bridge? Does that make sense now? Shamshaya. There is a doubt in this statement. Is the abode of heaven, earth, etc. Pradhan? The jiva or Brahman? Purvapaksha. It refers to Pradhan, since it is the abode of everything, right? So this is their argument now. So this is their doubt. What is it of these three? But now they're going to say, is it these three? Right? So you can see it's an intellectual thing. So, is it these three? These are the possibilities. But so, now they're Purvapaksha. No, it refers to this. Rather than, no, you can't say that, this and that, that's nonsense. That's not logic. Right? Does that make sense? So here it's that, they just go. Is there a doubt? Is it this? Is it this? Is it this? And it's kind of like, oh, okay. You know, and then it goes, it refers to this. And if you follow this, then all these mental speculators are very happy because no emotions were involved.
Yes.
Right? You know, which is what you're trying to avoid.
Everybody's safe.
Yeah, everybody's safe. Okay. Purvapaksha refers to Pradhan since it is the abode of everything. Because Pradhan is the cause of all transformations. Pradhan can be called the bridge to immortality because it arranges for liberation of humans. Just milk produces nourishment. Just milk produces nourishment. Oh God, nothing else. You know? Forget all that grass and stuff like that. Yes, like that. Now, what if the cow is abused and the calf is drinking that milk? So then the calf is supporting,
yes,
you know, cow abuse. So technically, the calf should be obeyed.
Yeah.
Okay. The word Atma is used to describe Pradhan figuratively, because it gives joy to the jivas, or because it pervades everything. Atma means that which spreads out. Right? So we're taking that as the definition. No, but it's just a general definition. It's a definition. Because we'll use Atma meaning the soul, Atma meaning the supreme soul, Atma meaning that which is spread out. So the whole thing is it has all these meanings. That's what Vedanta Sutra is dealing with, is that there's all these different meanings. So we're used to one meaning, but there's so many other meanings. And so Vyasadeva, then being who he is, then can deal with all these meanings in one place. Right? So that we're wondering why these all come up, because these are different angles with which someone then, you know, like that.
Which joy gives to the jivas? Who gives joy? Pradhan?
But it means because that's what the jivas are trying to enjoy. Or if it's the bridge, because it can take one across, then that will give joy to, I mean, in other words, the Pradhan itself gives joys to the the karmi jivas, because then they enjoy interacting with the material energy. But it will give joy to the, what do you call it, jnani jivas, because that will be, that in their idea is the bridge to Brahman. So in any case, they're taking it that it's the pradhan, which is the giving that experience. What they're missing out on is because it is, what do you call it, dead matter. How can that give any kind of anything to the living entity? The living entity has to project upon it that there's some value there. But the point is that reciprocation, that can't come from pradhan, because pradhan's dead matter. That has to be coming from someone else. It's not coming from the jiva. So that means you only, that means if you take out jiva and you take out pradhan, that only leaves you one thing left. That's Brahman. So it's because Brahman pervades pradhan, therefore it has those qualities. But they're taking it at the external. So even though they're so subtle, they still work on externals. Why? Because they want to just have everything come down to that platform of Brahman. And so they can't explain anything other than Brahman just being formless and nothingness. So all this, everything else they have to deal with in the whole process of liberation, they can't relate it actually directly to Brahman. So they have to relate it to something else. But the problem is that something else means technically it's illusion, so how illusion will get them anywhere. But still they go on in their foolishness thinking that pradhan will be the bridge to immortality. But technically it's illusion, so why would that be, you know? Like that. It's like a cruise in the Caribbean, that should also then be the bridge to immortality.
We can try it out.
Yeah, exactly. So at least they have faith in Shastra, so then they're trying to follow the Upanishads. But the problem is because they are misinterpreting the Upanishads, that what they deal with doesn't make any sense. Okay. Or it refers to the jiva, because the jiva is the abode of heaven, earth, etc., which are enjoyed, since he is the enjoyer, right? So they be the enjoyed means he's the Vishaya, so he's the basis of them. Right? You have to have a lot of false ego to think I'm the basis of, you know, you're on that cruise liner, and I'm the basis of this cruise line because I'm here enjoying it. Like that. And the guy sitting up in the top there who owns the thing, he doesn't mind you thinking that because you bought a ticket. Because if you thought, no, I am being enjoyed because he gets my money, then you may not buy your ticket. So the illusion goes on.
Yes. Everybody wins.
Yes, everybody wins. Also, it is well known that the jiva is endowed with mind and pranas. Because here it mentions the pranas here. And what was the other one it mentioned? Mind and that. So they know that he has these, but he doesn't have heaven, earth. So they just take it, oh, but he's enjoying that, so he's the Vishaya, so he's the support. It's like the, what do you call it? Paramarthika Guru, and he had his six foolish disciples. From what I understand, is each disciple represented one of the six schools and things like that. So one of the disciples was sent out to buy some butter. So he got the butter, they put it in a leaf cup. And he's walking along, and then he's contemplating, what is the basis? You know, is the butter the basis of the cup, or is the cup the basis of the butter? Right? You know, so why is what there? So he's understood now that, the butter, you know, being on top, the basis of the cup, okay, that's a little more obvious, but the more subtle, is the cup the basis of the butter? So what does he do to prove which is correct? He turns the cup upside down. So now what happens? The butter falls out. So much for that philosophy. Yeah, no, the sidewalk is the basis. Yes, in front of the sidewalk. Keep going. Yeah. Yes, he didn't have that much determination. So that's the whole point, is they just take it, and through other things, they project these things through. So that's hermeneutics. So the whole point is we have to use hermeneutics that's given by the acharyas. We can't doubt that. We have to have full faith in that. The scriptures give it, That is the basis. It has to be given by scripture. If it's not supported by scripture, we're not interested. Then it has to be the acharyas. They give the interpretation. Because otherwise you can't pull from here and there and put anything together. That's the whole point. That's the beauty of mental speculation. You can come up with 8,400,000 different options like that. So then what's recommended, that's what we follow. So we're very careful about that. If we make up our own, we will be lost. It's not, I wouldn't say we will be lost. That would be, not a full context. We are lost. The moment we think like we're lost, just like Prabhupada says, the moment you pride comes, you're fallen. It's not that you will become fallen. We say, oh, he's proud, he'll fall. No, proud, you're already. So in the same way is that when we don't take shelter of the interpretation given by the acharyas, that's when the problem comes up.
So the symptoms will build later.
The symptoms will come later, yes. You know, first you fall out of the window, then you develop the symptoms of all the broken bones, right? You know, yes. So that's a very good point. Okay, Siddhanta. Jyu bhuvad yatanam swa shabdata. The Lord is the abode of the heavens and earth because he is the bridge to immortality. Brahman is the abode of all these. Why? Because of the unusual words mentioned in the statement. He is the bridge to immortality. The word setu comes from the word sinoti. He binds, but in this case he increases. Thus, bridge to immortality means he who causes the jiva to attain immortality. Or, the Lord is like a bridge for crossing samsara to gain liberation, just as one uses a bridge to cross a river to get to the other bank. Therefore, the word refers to the Lord only. Shruti says, Tam eva vidi tvai vrit yumna eti. Knowing him, one surpasses death. Sweta Supraru Upanishad. Right, so here's the point, is knowing him doesn't say the jiva or pradhan. Right? So that's the point here. It's not that, so we're not saying that you can't use these words to mean these things in other contexts, but this context it means this. So it's not a matter of arguing words, it's just this context, this is how it works. So we see is actually, even though it's a very big doubt, it's very simply dealt with. Because it's just straightforward. No, it means this, because he's the only one that can take a cross. Bhagavatam verse reference. Heaven, dew, earth, bhu, and other bodies that the Vedas direct humans to seek refer only to the Supreme Lord. By crossing the bridge of the Vedas, the devotee leaves behind the temporary material shore and attains the eternal abode, Vaikuntha. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:15-15. In the Vaikuntha planets is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the original person and who can be understood through the Vedic literature. He is full of the uncontaminated mode of goodness, with no place for passion or ignorance. He contributes religious progress for the devotees. Footnote 10, Srila Prabhupada comments. The kingdom of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the spiritual sky cannot be understood by any process other than hearing from the description of the Vedas. No one can go see it. In this material, so other than hearing from the Vedas, we can't know about it. So basically we even see in the modern context that, you know, the New Age and all these kind of New Age-ish and all those kind of jazz, that they actually get most of their things, that they'll get something from, you know, from the Egyptians or this and that. But basically they get, you know, the Orientals, but basically they'll get it from India. It's their time spent in India where you see. You don't see generally any of the big leaders of the New Age world having spent time in Egypt. No, they all go to India. Spend time there, join ashrams, get gurus, study the scriptures and this and that. And once they come to a point of speculation where they're comfortable on their own, then they come back and start their own thing. Right? So this is how, you know, it would all come. So you can't get any understanding that there's something beyond except through the Vedas. So even these things have come from that, though now that's so obscured you wouldn't even know it. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Oh. Okay. So no one can go see it, so you have to learn from the Veda.
I think Jagannath Kirtan told me about a book that actually traces these where what lines they go back to.
Oh, okay. That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
You should get that book. Yeah, because they all go back. Even someone was telling me the other day about the...
For example, like, men are from Mars, women are from Venus, John Gray, he was like Ramakrishna's disciple. Eckhart Tolle is connected to, like, you know, Swami this and Swami that.
Okay, yeah, yeah. No, even you go back, those ones that were in the 20s and all that... Mooncrest and all those, all those guys.
Yeah.
There's also that, the Theosophical. They went back. They were in India.
Yeah,
everything like that, and they worked, I think, with the Arya Samaj.
Yeah,
and different, you know, like that. So that's going. And someone's telling me that even these big quantumists, Einstein, Schroeder, he's the cat guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then there's a third mark. They all studied Upanishads. Yeah, like that. So that's the whole thing, is that there's something more beyond that can only catch from the Vedic literature. So there's no question that it's coming from anywhere else. That's the whole thing. But we're not interested in those like that. We're interested, this is the whole point. So since that's the point, then we'll stick to this. We're not going to get distracted by how they ended up.
But when others will bring up these guys, we can say... Yeah, but still.
Yeah, we're not going to make a study out of these guys.
not here.
No, like that. Though we do have the open roof. We got the sky part.
Yeah.
You know, the clad part. Right, you know, yes. So we'll avoid that approach. In the material world also, one who is unable to pay to go to a far distant place by motorized conveyances can only understand about that place from authentic books. Similarly, the Vaikuntha, so let's say, like those who are generally part of the, how do you say, more eclectic social environments, they will much of the time be basing their whole perspective and view of things and what they do and what they value on things that they've never seen and never been to. You know, if they're in America, then it'll be something in Europe or this or that, or something in the Orient, or, you know, saying it's always something somewhere else they've never seen. So that's what Prabhupada's pointing out here. So they have to get it from authentic books like that, that they know that that exists and all that. Similarly, the Vaikuntha planets in the spiritual sky are beyond this material sky. The modern scientists who are trying to travel in space are having difficulty going even to the nearest planet, the moon, to say nothing of the highest planet within this universe. There is no possibility that they can go beyond the material sky, enter the spiritual sky, and see for themselves the spiritual planets, the Vaikuntha. Therefore, the kingdom of God in the spiritual sky can be understood only through the authentic descriptions of the Vedas and Puranas. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:15:15 purport. Okay. And Srimad Bhagavatam 4:29:48. Those who are less intelligent accept the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies as all in all. They do not know that the purpose of the Vedas is to understand one's own home, where the Supreme Personality of Godhead lives. Not being interested in their real home, they are illusioned and search after other homes. Good. So they're taking it that even of the external, they're taking the external, the ritualistic aspect of that, and that's everything. Right? And so they don't understand that there's beyond that. So then for the Vaishnavas, that means beyond the whole material. But even for the Jnanis, that they go beyond, but not actually to home. Right? Because that's the thing, is that Karmis accept home, Bhaktas accept home, then Jnanis don't have a home. So that's why they end up coming back here home, because they don't know about their home.
Why they don't like emotions, because
Yeah, because then that was the problem at home, right?
Why not homeless?
Yes, then they're homeless, yes. Yeah. Homeless, yeah. Okay, so that's why they actually take up, you know, the begging and have no things, because they're actually homeless. So. Yeah, it means the devotees live in the temple, the karmis live in the, you know, in their place, but these guys live on the street. Okay, Sutra 132. Footnote 11, yes. Srila Prabhupada comments. If one goes to the highest planetary system within this universe, he still has to return after the effects of pious activities are finished. Space vehicles may go very high in the sky, but as soon as the fuel is finished, they have to return to this earthly planet. All these activities are performed in illusion. The real attempt should be to return home, back to Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam 4:29-48 purport. Sutra 132. So in other words, that knowledge about the Lord, that's the bridge. That takes us from this side to that side. Mukto pasripya vyapadeshat. Mukta, liberated. Upasripya, attaining. Vyapade chat, because of the statement. It refers to the Lord because he is attained by liberated souls. Sutra Prakashika. Oh. Time's up. Just when we're having so much fun. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Govinda Prabhupada.